"Let me just run this by my lawyer" is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
KFI AM 640, you're listening to the John and Ken Show on demand on the iHeartRadio app. Coming up, we're going to talk about Clayton Kershaw very quietly, gently taking on the Dodgers over that drag queen nun situation. The Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, who were invited, uninvited, and reinvited for their Pride night, and it's caused a big ruckus. You'll hear about what Kershaw is doing, and also a rundown of what this Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence are really about with their public demonstrations. I'm just going to read you a list. See what you think. Let's get Corbin Carson on. The San Clemente Pier was the scene of some Marines being beaten up by a mob of young adults and teenagers.
This whole thing.
Go ahead.
Yeah, this whole thing is on like the viral video. It's pretty crazy. This beating is going on for like a minute. You can see this group, dozens of potentially teens or juveniles down by the beach in San Clemente Friday night. Some reports indicate the Marines got involved because the teens were lighting fireworks and getting rowdier. The Marines say they identified themselves, but as they tried to leave, the group followed them and eventually attacked the group. I spoke a bit ago with OC Sheriff Sergeant Mike Woodroof. He says the violence started with a sucker punch.
Seeing the video, you see one individual go up and what appears to punch the Marine the back of his head. And then from that point, when the Marine turns around and charges after that individual, he gets assaulted several times by other people within the crowd. From that point, he gets knocked to the ground, and individuals in the crowd then proceed to start kicking and stomping his torso and his head. And it appeared the same type of treatment occurred to the other Marine as well.
Now, the first person I got to tell you that threw this punch, I mean, he looked like he could have been 12 years old. And I don't know, maybe the Marines, one who was pretty big, I don't know if they started by pulling their punches because these were maybe kids. But when the puncher immediately retreats back into this group, and then that group just swallows these two Marines, at least the two we can see, and then this beating goes on. I mean, again, for a minute until a man and a woman bravely just run into this scrum screaming for people to stop. And there was a third Marine who was also assaulted off camera. It was a nasty scene.
The Marines are in a tough spot. Now, they're not obviously not in uniform, right? So the crowd didn't realize.
They did not.
Right. But they're at Camp Pendleton. and this was just a break from their routine.
Right, yeah, and here you got one of them spoke with he spoke with local media, and he kind of describes, I think this is the third one who was not in the camera. Listen, here's him describing his version of the events.
There's a video of like both of my buddies getting jumped, and then once that video ends, I turned around because I didn't know what was going on. I was just trying to go back to the car, and then I turned around, and once the video ends, I go back to help them out, and then we're all just in this circle getting stomped on, beat up.
And you could see his face is all bruised and bloody. Now, there are no serious injuries. Investigators are saying there were no serious injuries to the Marines. But still, I mean, you can't miss the fact that this is happening over Memorial Day weekend. And I asked, go ahead.
No, I mean, just the symbolism of it is just terrible.
Right. Yeah, I talked to Sergeant Woodruff about that. I was like, look, man, this is, I mean, does the weekend itself lay some more magnitude to this event?
This weekend, you know, our nation celebrates those that have not only just volunteered to serve our country and protect our freedoms, but it specifically takes the time to honor those that were lost for this country, and for an assault to happen on our Marines during a time of when we're supposed to be honoring them and honoring the fallen just heightens this even more.
Just a mess. And obviously the trick now is to identify this group, not just the viral video, but there were some surveillance video that was on the beach there that investigators are combing through, and they're looking at some serious charges.
Do they have an idea how many people were in the mop? How many people?
You know, there's conflicting reports. I mean, you can look at the video and try to count. I mean, some reports are saying 20 to 30. Some are saying as many as 40. But I mean, dozens is easily a word you can put just by looking at this group down at the beach.
Because the Marines are taking a break, but they're active duty Marines, and they can't be seen beating up young teenagers in public. They were kind of stuck.
Right. Yeah. And like I said, one of these Marines, one of the ones that they end up on the ground, but one of these Marines, he's a big guy. And you can only imagine, not only is he a big guy, but he's a Marine. So he's got to be pulling his punches because, I mean, the first one looks like he's a 12-year-old.
Not a bunch of punks.
Yeah, but I got to tell you, now, as far as whether or not their age is going to make a difference, at least on the booking side or the charging side, at least in Orange County, I asked Woodruff about that. Does it matter when it comes to if they finally identify this group? Will it matter to the charges they're going to face?
It does not matter if you're a juvenile or an adult. When you violate such crimes, you will be held accountable. Assault and battery, which is a misdemeanor, in regards to assault with a deadly weapon, which is a felony. For those suspects that kicked these Marines in the head and while they were on the ground, they will be liable for that charge.
So that's assault with a deadly weapon, a felony, and they are kicking repeatedly on this, which it could have caused, you know, some of the Marines are mentioning they could have concussions. This could go, you know, a lot further than that.
What was the trigger? Do they know?
As far as we're hearing is that, at least from the Marines' standpoint, and I also speaking with the investigators, that it started with this fireworks thing. Some variation of, you guys are getting a little bit rowdy. Hey, we're Marines. It's Memorial Day. Why don't you just tone it down a bit? I mean, some of the people I know that live down in that area are talking about how this crowd frequents this beach, and maybe this is something that's been ongoing,
right?
But clearly it becomes some sort of tumultuous situation once the crowd starts catching on and hyping themselves up, and again just to play it out for the video, you have this sucker punch and then this Marine going back into the crowd because the sucker puncher runs back into the crowd, obviously not wanting to go toe-to-toe with the guy he just punched. But I mean, when you see the punch, it does not look like it hurts this Marine at all from behind.
Well, I would hope
the original punch.
I would considering, you know, the real enemies they might have to deal with.
Right.
I could take on a bunch of are they San Clemente kids, do we know, or are they from other towns?
That is still being determined because they have not been identified yet. But like I said, there are some reports from people that live down there that are saying that this is a group that hangs down there regularly. Whether or not they travel down there for this spot, that remains to be seen.
Wow. All right. Very good, Corbin. Thank you.
Appreciate it, sir.
Corbin Carson, KFI News. Marines being attacked by local punks and thugs in San Clemente, of all places. Wow. We come back. There's a lot of woke news. We're going to start with Clayton Kershaw. who's taking on his own team, the Dodgers, over that group of drag queen nuns. Good Lord. And I think Clayton Kershaw was offended, and he's doing something about it. We'll tell you what next. John and Ken.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
Ken's away today. KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. We're on from 1 until 4 after 4 o'clock. Pick up what you missed. Join the record-breaking crowds who are downloading the John and Ken podcast, John and Ken on demand. All right. We have a lot of woke news today. I don't know why all this is breaking out at the same time, but it is. You probably have heard that the Dodgers have a pride night. I think it's June 16th. And they invited a lot of groups, including the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. This is a San Francisco group. These are men dressed as Catholic nuns. And some of the stuff they do has offended deeply a lot of religious Catholics. And the Dodgers backed down after there was a backlash and disinvited the group. And then they re-invited the group because the other Pride Night groups made a ruckus. And I'm going to read to you in just a couple of minutes. The Catholic League, which has been one of the lead protesters, has put together a list going back over 40 years about how the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, their performances, let's call it, what they've done. So you get an idea what this thing is about. I have a feeling a lot of people have no idea exactly what this ruckus is about. It just shows up in the news every few days. Anyway, Clayton Kershaw is a very religious Christian, and he was offended by this group. And he announced that the Dodgers are going to bring back their annual Christian Faith Day. He said, I think we were always going to do it this year, but the timing of our announcement was sped up. This Christian Faith Day was something they did in years past. It got suspended during COVID. He said, picking a date and doing those different things was part of it as well. And yes, it was a response to the highlighting of the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence by the Dodgers. So he said that publicly in the statement. He said, I don't agree with making fun of other people's religions. It has nothing to do with anything other than that. I just don't think, no matter what religion you are, you should make fun of someone else's religion. That's something I definitely don't agree with. So it's going to take place on July 30th. And Kershaw is one of the most civilized athletes you'll ever see. And he and his wife do really legitimate charity work inspired by their religion. They don't just do publicity opportunities. They do real stuff. And Kershaw said he never heard of the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. He goes, I did the best I could to try and understand what they stood for, but he called it tough to see the videos and other examples of the group's portrayal of Christianity. Of course, the El Segundo Times, this idiot writer named Jack Harris, describes the group as a charity protest and satirical performance organization that uses humor, drag, and religious imagery to call attention to sexual intolerance, saying nothing about the religious intolerance that they have demonstrated. And Kershaw said it has nothing to do with the regular gay community or the Pride Night. It's just that this group goes too far. So I'd heard about this Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, and the Catholic League is one of the organizations that's fighting this group most publicly. And they started in 1979 in San Francisco's Castro District. Three men in nuns' habits walked the streets. One of them carried a machine gun, and then they went to a nude beach, and that's where they adopted the name. In 1987, the sisters were granted tax-exempt status after trashing Pope John Paul II's visit to San Francisco. They held an exorcism and a condom savior mass in Union Square. They featured the latex host. You know, the host is the wafer that represents the body of Christ in the Catholic religion, and then referred to Jesus as the condom savior. They then burned the Pope in effigy. Also in 1987, they staged a Hunky Jesus contest, which they do every year on Easter Sunday. In 1989, they held many events, including one with one of the sisters rising from the dead and Pope Dementia's altered boys. They only wore thongs and smiles. At the 1989 Condom Savior Mass, again, this is all about mocking Catholicism, sisters read from a text of the Condom Savior Consecration. The latex host is the flesh for the life of the world. Just as the Creator who has life sent us, we have life because of the Condom Savior. This stuff is not even funny. This is just like stupid. Those who feed on this latex will have life because of it. Again, mocking the idea that the bread symbolizes the body of Christ. Let's see. And in 1990, the sisters were noted for carrying a 20-foot replica of a penis. In 1992, the sisters held signs of the cross with a pink inverted triangle in place of Jesus with the inscription, "Stop crucifying queers." In, 1992, they said the motto of the sisters is "Encroach not on my crotch and leave my loins alone." And then a bunch of lesbian jokes. The sisters were banned from the March on Washington for being too controversial. In 1994, they served Holy Communion wafers and tequila to the congregation at a mock mass. In 1999, on the front page of the San Francisco Bay Times, there was a full-page picture of a sister imposed on a cross-like photo with his hand stretched out, imitating Jesus on the cross. In 2000, they held a Good Friday event where they sponsored a fetish fashion show that provided a chance to get spanked and get free sticky buns. And then one of them held her Good Vibrations dildo fashion show. These are the events that the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence do. Let me see, as we continue into the 2000s, they spent the entire month of December bashing Christmas in Los Angeles. They held a midnight confessional contest in 2005 that gave prizes to those with the hottest confessions held in a gay bar. 2009, some of the men danced naked in the street in San Francisco. And it goes on and on. Andrew Sullivan, who's a gay conservative writer, called the Sisters Hunky Jesus event a form of blasphemy. 2018, they started hosting the Drag Queen Storytime shows, the event targeting kids ages 2 to 6. 2 to 6. In 2022, they gave an award to someone called Lil Hot Mess, a man who dresses as a woman for children, one of the leading activists of the Drag Queen Story Hour. 2023, this year, the sisters won the Free Choice Mary Pro-Abortion Award. Well, I don't know why the Dodgers would get involved with that organization, and you can see why Clayton Kershaw has objected and got the Dodgers to do a Christian faith night. Because this stuff is just gross and disgusting. It's not funny. It's just, it's not satirical. It's not clever. It's just designed to upset people. For what? You think people are going to become less religious and less Catholic? Why are they special? Because they're drag queens? So they're in some kind of protected class? They get to find me a group that would do the same thing about Islam. Do the same thing against the way Muslim women dress. Go ahead. Find me that group where they would, what ball club would honor them. More coming up. John and Ken should.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Juan Gabriel.
Juanquis.
Selena.
Selena.
Celia Cruz.
Azúcar.
Carol G.
La Bichota.
Christina Aguilera.
Ex-Tina.
Just to name a few.
We're serving the whole story.
From rags to riches.
And all the tea in between.
I'm Liliana Vasquez.
And I'm Joseph Carrillo.
And we're the host of Becoming an Icon Season 2.
Guess who's back in the house?
And we're bringing you even more stories behind the world's biggest stars in Latin music.
Certified Latin royalty.
Consider us your star sleuths, your chisme besties, digging beneath los mejores éxitos to bring you everything you didn't know about your favorite Latin icons.
Hey, you know what, my boo? You're my favorite icon.
Aw, Joseph!
Listen to Becoming an Icon, part of the Michael Thurow Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of
bit.
Us.
We're
a
figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have been,
the
podcast would have taken a left turn.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
We're on from 1 until 4 on the radio. After 4 o'clock, you could hear everything you missed. John and Ken on Demand is the podcast on the iHeart app. I have just reams of woke news here. I don't know why this is all happening at once. It seems like every corporation has embraced this transgender movement, and they're getting backlash left and right and all over. The Dodgers, I just told you about the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, the latest chapter there. Clayton Kershaw has come out against them being involved on their Pride Night. You know about the Bud Light situation. Do you know their sales are still going down? For the week ending May 20th, they're down almost 30%, 29.5, compared to last year. Every week, the sales and the revenue goes down more and more and more. It's been almost 2 months since they, on social media, publicized Dylan Mulvaney, a transgender. They created a beer can in her honor. She was the only one who got it, but sales have fallen off a cliff. The if you look on a chart, the line is straight down. Beers are now, they're actually offering $15 off on a case of beer that goes for $14.99. You get a $15 rebate. They're giving away beer for free. They're taking beer returns from distributors. They're taking it back for free as well. And the other brands, Coors, Michelob, their numbers are shooting up, almost in direct proportion to Bud Light's losses. And the executives are completely baffled and befuddled. They don't know what to do. Here's another weird thing. Deborah, you identify as what?
A woman.
And when you were little, what did you identify as?
A little girl.
Okay. You familiar with the Always brand of sanitary feminine products?
I've seen that.
Yeah. Apparently, they no longer use terms like women or girls. You are a body with female sex organs. Not making this up. They have puberty kits with pamphlets, which explain how their products work to young girls who are just entering puberty. It's a 22-page booklet. There is no mention of girls or women. There's no mention of boys either when it comes to puberty. It's bodies with female sex organs. I don't know if that's going to occur to a girl that they're talking about her when she reads the pamphlet. It's got the attention of a lot of people. Millie Hill is the author of a book on female puberty. She said, bodies with female sex organs, that phrase could not be more dehumanizing and offensive. This is another example of companies trying to erase women and disregarding their needs in a rush to appease trans activists. Why would you do that? It's, first of all, it's puberty age girls. They will not, there are some, you know, we said this was, I remember this was in some legislation. Oh, because they wouldn't call mothers mothers. Remember in some legislation Nancy Pelosi was pushing. It was a birth person, I think.
Yeah, it was some weird term.
And Ken was telling me, he goes, oh, don't pay attention to that story. That's just, I go, no, this is spreading all over the place. And it is spreading all over the place. Procter & Gamble is the company behind the Always brand. Of course, they're not commenting on it. Got to remember this phrase here. Bodies with female sex organs. That's all you are.
Yeah, thanks.
You're just a body with female. You're not a woman.
But you know what? I can identify the way I want to identify, right? So yes. I don't identify with that.
Okay, so you're going to remain as woman.
Yes.
All right.
But that's me. Nothing against anybody else. You all can identify the way you want. I have no problem with that. But I identify as a woman.
There's also another ruckus with Disney. Somebody put on TikTok a video of a male Disney employee dressed as a fairy godmother apprentice while ushering children into a dress store. We got 6 seconds of it. See what this is.
So my name's Nick. I'm one of Fairy Godmother's apprentices. I'm here to shop you around and make all your selections for the day.
So that's a guy.
Yes.
Dressed as a woman.
With a mustache.
You're right. A guy with a mustache. You know, I wasn't processing that. And it's posted by someone at Courtney Faber. My name is Nick. I'm one of the Fairy Godmother's apprentices. I'm here to shop you around and make your selections for the day. So Courtney, that's her name. I said Courtney? No, I guess it is Courtney. A mother of three. She's gotten 7 million views on TikTok after posting it. The Fairy Godmothers in Training used to be a Disney feature at the Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique. But now they call them the fairy godmother's apprentices to be more gender neutral. What I don't understand about this is well, what you said, it's like people like identify with what they want, but why are they taking away all the identifiers of men and women that's used in general language?
Can I just tell you some weird thing that happened over the weekend? I was walking, not with my dogs, and I saw a dog that I normally see with my dogs, and I got it confused with this other dog. Anyway, so I said to the woman, I said, oh, she's just so cute. She's so cute. And then she said something about him. And I said, oh, I'm so sorry. I thought that it was the female dog. And I explained that it looks like another dog. And she goes, well, but doesn't matter. Why does it even matter? Who cares what gender the dog is? I said, oh, okay.
You're trying to be nice.
I was trying to be nice. She says, it doesn't matter. I said, okay, because I thought I offended calling the dog she. So I was trying to remedy it.
You misgendered the dog.
I did.
You know, that would be a felony in some places. That's funny. I don't understand. I don't understand a guy with a mustache dressed up as a woman greeting kids at the Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique. I don't just understand any of this. What? And I don't understand why the language has to be changed when 99.5% of people use those terms, and those terms aren't going to go away. And these corporations are obviously just irritating everybody. Just stop it. It's not, I mean, every day we've got to hear about this. Every day this has become the most important thing in the world. Most people I talk to don't care about any of these issues. And I don't even want to bring them up, except it's everywhere. And a lot of people are getting upset about it. And it's just, and I understand why, because it's almost like we're all being indoctrinated and reprogrammed and the language is being rewritten and we can't have our own independent thoughts and use our own independent language, that there are now rules. I mean, it is getting more and more like the Soviet Union in some ways. And I don't know who's the governing commission on all this. Who is setting these rules? Who is behind this insistence? And who's everybody afraid of challenging? Like, what commission are we afraid of challenging here? What unseen organization is going to harm us if we don't go along with all the language requests? All right, more coming up. John and Ken.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
Ken's away today, and he'll be gone tomorrow as well. Conway's coming up in a few minutes. So we all know about Feinstein's situation, right? She's got probably some kind of dementia, obviously, right? She's doesn't even remember that she was not working for several months after getting the shingles. And she ended up with a brain infection, encephalitis. Her brain was swelling. She's gotten over that, but she comes back to Washington, and clearly she looks like she doesn't know what's going on. The look in her eyes, and they have her in a wheelchair. And they have all these lackeys surrounding her and protecting her, trying to guide her along. This is how bad it is. A story is just coming out now that some months ago, you know how the Senate works. The vice president presides over the Senate and kind of like the chief officer and gets to cast a tie-breaking vote. And in the last Senate session, it was 50 Republicans, 50 Democrats. If everyone showed up and voted along party lines, you had a tie, and then Kamala Harris would break the tie, 51-50. Well, last year this happened. Harris was there to cast a tie-breaking vote. And Feinstein looked up and started expressing confusion, is the way they put it. She saw Kamala Harris presiding over the chamber. A tie-breaking vote was about to happen. And Feinstein asked, what is she doing here? She didn't understand why Kamala Harris was casting the tie-breaking vote. What is she doing here? And the New York Times had a very long piece over the weekend about how they're trying to protect her. She is accompanied by a group of aides. Two staff members settle her into the chair. And when she spoke, she read from a piece of paper handed to her by another aide. And this woman knelt next to her and whispered into her ear between votes, hopping up repeatedly from her seat to talk to Feinstein, clearing away paper that Feinstein had read from, and then gave her a folder that contained the background information about judicial nominees. That's what they were voting on. See, she had held up the confirmation of all these judges because she didn't work for months. And this is what it's like day to day. The staff members are not only doing their regular jobs, which is advising on policy and keeping her schedule, writing her statements and speeches, but they have to be constantly next to her. Nobody wants her to go off walking by herself because she might fall into a heap. They stay with her all day long. And this story goes through the Kamala Harris situation. Staff members have been overheard explaining to her that she cannot leave yet because there are more votes to come. The Capitol Police and the Senate Sergeant of Arms have gone to great lengths to keep Feinstein shielded from photographers and reporters to create a bubble. And it makes some of the aides uncomfortable because, you know, they're there to serve the public and they know this is not serving the public to go along with the charade every day. Conway's here.
Hey now. All right. Put on the headphones. A little late start here. Did you watch the Celtics last night, fellas? You see that game?
No.
Oh, man. You missed the beauty, right? Celtics could have been the first team on 149 tries coming back from 0-3 to win the conference?
Eastern Conference.
Eastern Finals. Conference. And nobody's ever done it. Boston had a chance to do it, and they failed on their own floor. Very sweet for Laker fans.
And got blown out.
Got blown out. Yeah. Really never in it. But, if you're a Boston fan, you've got to be just beside yourself.
I'm amazed stuff like that happens. Where teams come out in a game 7 and are completely flat.
Well, but you know,
no driver, unable to execute, especially after
they're exhausted. You know, they came down from 0-3 and they used all their energy in those three games and they couldn't find it again. They're done.
48 more minutes.
Yes,
you got it.
And I think Miami for the most part has spent their energy too. I predict Denver in a sweep.
Oh yeah, when
four
Miami
radical
has to breathe the Denver air. Yeah, when they have to breathe the Denver air.
Right, four radical sweeps.
They're going to be sucking a lot of oxygen.
Yeah. The LA City Zoo has a big deal going on to raise money. We'll talk about that. You know, that's got to be very complicated psychologically for the tigers and lions over at the LA Zoo, that they can smell every animal that they eat and they can't get at them. You know, the flamingos, the rhinos, the zebras, they can smell them all.
They can smell them all.
Yeah. All of them. They can smell them for miles. And they're next door.
Yeah.
And they can't get to them.
I'd never thought of that.
It's like a barbecue going on for 30 years and you can't get there, man. That's tough. Jane Fonda is in the news. She blamed you as for climate change as a white male. And we'll get into that. And then we have the Home Depot incident. That was my Home Depot that the guy in Burbank called the cops and said, I'm going to shoot up the Home Depot on Saturday. I go there 4 or 5 times a week. Could have been me sitting in that
you
parking
go four lot. Or five times a week.
I sometimes go more than that. I sometimes go 3 or 4 times a day if I'm working on a project.
What projects are you doing at home?
The lawn. If I'm reseeding the lawn, I need to go. If I'm planting stuff,
do home renovation?
Yes, I'm redoing the sprinklers, changing out sockets, the whole run.
Is that right?
Yes, sir. Yes,
all right,
sir.
All right. Well,
the whole run.
Good to have a backup career.
Thank you very much.
Conway's next. We got Crozier at the news.
Let's go.
Live dog. 24-hour KFI newsroom.
Hey, you've been listening to The John and Ken Show. You can always hear us live on KFI AM 640, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday, and of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.